This is North Shore Today. I'm Bill Newell.
I'm Rick Moore.
And in today's program, winter weather is here and more is coming this weekend.
Yeah, and in Gloucester, the mayor is looking for an extension on the Fuller School offer, as that's back in the headlines again.
All right, we'll get to these stories and a bunch more here on North Shore Today, right here on MSONewsSports.com. Just a couple of notes before we get going. Our basketball broadcast tonight, we're planning to do the Salem at Beverly boys game tonight. Salem is undefeated this year. I think they're at 10-0 this year. So they'll the Panthers will have their hands full tonight against Salem High School. And what's interesting, actually, Salem's in the South Division this year, while Beverly remains up in the larger North Division of the schools in the Northeastern Conference. So we got that basketball coming up today. Plus, Rick and I will just check in on the weather forecast here in a moment as well. But, Rick, the Fuller School back in the news again in Gloucester. What's up with that?
Yeah, the YMCA is pushing to buy the property, and they've come in with a very low bid, in my opinion. But the mayor, Mayor Safathia Romeo-Taken, wants to extend a tentative deadline. But the Y is really pushing for it. Say they need the, they're saying they need the property. They need it now in order to recoup their losses. And apparently, the Cape Ann Y, according to the CEO of the YMCA of the North Shore, the Cape Ann Y is dependent upon the Beverly and Marblehead Ys apparently for revenue. So that's going to be an interesting story. Again, the original valuation of the property was $19 million, and I guess it has been reduced to $15 million, and the Y is coming in and offering around $5 million. So stay tuned for that one. There's more on that. And, of course, the other thing, Bill, was the sound and fury that was coming out of the Gloucester Police Station this weekend, if I could put it that way, from Police Chief Leonard Campanello. He's very, very passionate about helping people with opioid addiction, and that passion was shown in a department tweet or Facebook, I'm not sure which it was, over the weekend that picked up by Channel 5.
Yeah, it was on the Facebook, their Facebook page, although they did tweet out their Facebook page as you and I both saw over the weekend. And it was, for the chief, very, very passionate, very, you know, choice of language was very passionate, let's put it that way. And, you know, we get it. And, you know, we talked with former Salem Police Chief Paul Tucker, who's now a state rep from Salem, a week ago. And, you know, I think they all kind of share the frustration of dealing with this piece. But there is legislation moving forward down in Boston. And, you know, Channel 5 did a story on with Chief Campanello in last night's news. And so it's, you know, continues to make news, you know, in a lot of different levels. I think there was actually another related story I saw recently as well. So, you know it's making news. Rick, you've been reporting on it now for quite some time here on MSONewsSports.com. But there were four heroin overdoses. Were there deaths this weekend, Rick? Is that the deal?
No, they were just overdoses. Yeah. I used that word very lightly. I didn't mean to, but they were overdoses. Thank goodness they were not deaths. It just lit a fire once again under the chief, who, as we said, he keeps that fire burning. And yeah, he cares. The police department cares. And they have called out the big pharmaceuticals once again.
You know, again, we talked about this the other day, Rick, and we won't talk a lot about it today. But just to follow up on one more thing, it wasn't that long ago where the mentality was in the police departments was to put this under wraps. And that, I don't think, is from the police departments, but I'm thinking from higher up in communities, is that we're not really going to tout, although they have to report these situations, the deaths, the overdoses, and so on. We're not going to make a big deal out of it, and I'll put the news media is probably to blame as well here. That was just part of what was not reported, and you know, at least now that it is getting reported, and in a much more clear and a way. We you know, a number of years ago, let's say I think it was like 11 years ago, somewhere in that range, that this kind of epidemic was out there. People were talking about it, but really not from the police point of view. And so we continue to give the chief a lot of credit for what he's been doing to publicize this problem and this approach to the problem.
Well, my reaction and opinion balled up together is the chief wanted originally, he started this thing by saying we need to change the conversation. And I think he's done exactly that, at least from my point of view, because you're right. Back then, when I was teaching and so on, it was easy to say, well, this is the person's fault, himself or herself. She's the one who's taking drugs, or he's the one who's taking drugs. Come on, grow up, stop doing it. But the chief, at least publicly, in my opinion, has really changed that and saying, wait a minute, this is a chemical problem that sometimes, more often than not, starts with a legitimate prescription, you know, after a surgery or an injury or something like that. And, you know, it's not an embarrassment. It's a disease, the way he phrases it. And we have to address that. And he's changed the conversation, certainly from my perspective. And I applaud him and the Gloucester Police Department and all those who are working to.
Yeah, and again, we're having that conversation now, which we did not have, and in a way that we're not having it, and these stats and information are coming out a lot clearer than they had been before, and again, as we mentioned just a moment ago, there is legislation that is working its through the State House down in Boston, proposed by the governor, passed by the House last week to deal with some of this. And again, as we pointed out last week, I don't think any of this would be happening if it weren't for Chief Campanello. I don't think that's too strong a statement to be making.
Well, you know, as North Shore residents and Cape Banners, yeah, let's take credit for it. I'm all for that. And I give him full credit. And I think it's great that the story is getting out there, you know, both regionally and hopefully nationally as well.
And one other thing, too, there's a piece in the bill that's hotly debated. We talked about it with Representative Tucker a week ago, and that is the governor proposed the 3-day for doctors to only prescribe 3 days worth of these narcotics to patients. And I think that is, you know, I can speak from personal experience on one of these things in my family, is that I strongly support that. That is a huge piece, and I think the governor is absolutely right on that. That's not in the final language, unfortunately, to the House, because the House members were, you know, I think there's another side to that, and I get it. But on the other hand, I think the governor was absolutely right to propose that, and I give him a lot of credit for that. So, again, that would be doctors proposing folks to take home more than a 3-day prescription for these kinds of prescribed narcotics, if you will. So, and that's how addiction begins. That's exactly that's one way that it can start. All right, Rick.
Yep. I want to mention something else here. From a completely different perspective, the Cape Ann and Eric Carle Museums are hosting a day of picture book themed workshops for children and adults. This looks pretty interesting. It's going to be Saturday, January 30, from 9:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's at the Cape Ann Museum on Pleasant Street in Gloucester. It's free, but space is limited. It's a fantastic hidden jewel. People are not familiar with the Cape Ann Museum, but it is spectacular, I got to tell you. And the idea is they're going to be an art making workshop, an interactive toddler story time, and an adult workshop. Discover the difference between reading to children and reading with children, the whole book approach. And apparently there's going to be a contest, too, to maybe write a book. So that's kind of interesting, a little bit of a twist, little something to do with your kiddos on a cold winter's day.
You know, I now that you and I are doing the website thing here, Rick, and we are kind of writing headlines from time to time, there's a headline in today's daily item out of Lynn, and that the headline is this. This is what it says: firefighters extinguish careers in Lynn. Let me read that one more time. Firefighters extinguish careers in Lynn. Now, I saw that headline and I'm thinking, what is that about? You know, but you know, you know what that's about, Rick? What would your guess be?
No idea.
It's about killing jobs in the city of Lynn. No, that's not what it's about at all. It's about several firefighters that are retiring. So it makes you want to read the story, that's for sure. So we've all watched, looked at newspapers and looked at headlines and seen this stuff, and it's headlines. There are these guys. Some of them write some really clever headlines and really get to the point on things in just a few words. But this one again was a little twist and a little confusing, and in a good way. I'm not knocking it at all. But again, so just a little salute going out to retiring firefighters in the city of Lynn, which would include District Chief Jack Berry, Lieutenant Mike McNulty, firefighters Tim Lawrence, Daryl Murkinson, and Arnie Wong. So these guys are retiring. They're extinguishing their careers. I guess that's what firefighters do.
Okay. I wonder what educators do. In Gloucester, there was a headline in the paper, I don't know if it was over the weekend, about a firefighter. The headline says, firefighter so-and-so sues the city and the chief. and the chief, S-U-E-S, you know, meaning lawsuit or civil suit. And so I read the story, and in fact, it's a labor dispute. I didn't see anything going to court or anything like that. It's a labor dispute where a firefighter was suspended for what was considered to be an insubordinate email comment. And he was suspended for, I don't know, 22 hours, I guess. So he wants his payback. So it's a labor dispute. He's not, you know, the classic concept of going to court. It isn't that at that level. But I thought that was a little bit of a headline grabber as well.
Gotcha. Well, if an educator closes his career, he's probably closing the books on his career, right? How about that?
Well, but don't we do – that's a CPA, right?
Well,
closing the book. That's good. I like that.
No, you're right. You're right. Yeah, close. Let's work on this. You know, we're not done yet. We still have time. We still have time to come up with something to do.
How about let's send in your cliches to our website. what
puts
how,
in
how do you
graduates from? Puts on
something like
fails out.
Something like that. Yeah.
I got a couple of things here. So the weather. So here we go. Is, you know, here's the question. Is this winter, Rick, going to be just like last winter where we started very slow, very late with snow and cold weather? We finally got the cold weather this week. Got a little bit of snow. You got more than we did. And now there's a big storm in the forecast for this weekend. Now, whether it comes in as rain on the coast or snow, we don't really know. But it sounds like It might be a snow event, and definitely for some areas in New England, it will be a snow event. And it also is coinciding with a full moon and which would mean high tides as well. So it's potentially a big event coming up this weekend. And so the weathermen have started talking about this one already. So do we get the deja vu kind of feeling all over again?
Interesting, and I think people are very, very wary of that because that was, you know, it was a year ago, but boy, it's fresh in everybody's memories. So, yeah, we got to keep our eye on this one. But the hype, you mentioned the hype, and I talked to someone recently, and I guess the television stations hype the weather like they do and overhype it and drive you crazy about it, you know, with your 3 inches of snow. I guess because it's a local station's one of their biggest money makers. I guess they can really sell advertising on the weather.
I think so. I think it's a go-to moment too. I mean, I look at my own personal viewing habits, and I will, you know, what's really changed in television news in the last few years is that there's a lot more news on. It's Channel 5's added some more newscasts here since in the last week or so. You know, Fox 25's on local all morning long now, and then. What, Channel 7 has been on at 4 o'clock in the afternoon for quite a while. So if you're home and you want to catch that weather, you know that about quarter after the hour, right? You know this stuff. Quarter after the hour, the weather comes on thereabouts during these newscasts, and you get the very latest. So it's kind of to me, it is a destination. It's a pull-in piece. And I'm sure that the channels have their research on that piece as well. And, you know, now they always they'll put it right up at the top of the newscast as well. But they'll tease you to get you to come back 15 minutes later to get the full forecast in the afternoon news.
The marketing, too, Bill. I remember when on the local Boston stations it was stay tuned for the weather. And now it's Storm Team 5, you know, even if it's a nice sunny day. So, yeah, it's something else again. We live in strange times.
Hey, what time is the Patriots game on Sunday, Rick? Do you know what time
it is? 3 o'clock or so, somewhere around 3 p.m.
Okay, so it's middle of the afternoon. All right, okay.
Yeah.
All right, so, well, anyways, I'm looking in the Wall Street Journal has a piece today, and I thought I'd just share this with you. You know, it's always interesting to, you know, right now the Patriots apparently are favorites against the Broncos, and, it's funny how week-to-week changes. All of a sudden they're in the AFC Championship game, and that's kind of neat. And yet, you know, let me just read this here. So it's very short. But it's a little take on Peyton Manning and the Broncos. It seems to be barely a month ago, the belief was that Peyton was done and that the Brock Osweiler era had commenced in Denver. And if you weren't on board, you just weren't paying attention. And then Manning replaces Brocky in a regular season finale and leads Denver in a ferocious comeback and a playoff win over Pittsburgh. And it looks like Peyton Manning of old. And okay, that's not exactly how it has gone down. It has been a bit of a scattershot, and there are moments when Peyton flashes some classic Peyton, but there are more moments in which the benched Osweiler must want to run back into the locker room and scream loudly into his helmet. Let's just say this quarterback play remains an issue for Denver, and yet momentum has taken over. There is another Brady Manning Bowl upon us, and Peyton's last stand may be the most emotional story of these playoffs, unless someone botches another coin flip, which could be amazing. So that's just a quick take on the Broncos. And you know how I mentioned last week that this the Kansas City game had me a little bit nervous, and it did. But the Patriots just came out, and we haven't talked about this, but man, they were on fire. The Edelman was back. Gronkowski looked great despite all the stuff leading up to last week. Brady was right on for the most part, except in the first few passes, Brady was off the mark a little bit, and that wasn't a bad sign because you know he's not going to be off forever. But guys were getting open, and he never got really pressured in that game. But now it's I just feel better about this Broncos game, even though it's in Denver. Now I get it, what people were talking about. Some people kind of would rather them face the Broncos than the Steelers, and who knows. But anyways, it's
Manning. I think, yeah.
Yeah.
There are two things, though. First of all, three things. Good. Playing in Denver is never fun for the Patriots, no matter what kind of a team the Broncos field. The second thing, I'm a little nervous about the injuries on the Patriots defense. And then the third thing is, these people who are praising Peyton Manning, have you seen him? I mean, the only thing I've seen about his leadership in these games and his ability is the fact that the team plays well around him. I think they're more cohesive, you know. He has their attention. When Osweiler's in there, obviously Osweiler's in better condition and so on. They don't quite have that same rhythm. But in terms of his physical abilities, I didn't see anything that scared me on this weekend. Did you?
No, not really. No, and they got that last drive at the end to take the lead. They could have just as well as lost that game. It seemed like it was a low scoring game. So I don't know what it really means, and who knows. I just think that. Here's the deal. The Patriots team that we saw last week was not the Patriots team we've seen for the last month and a half, it doesn't seem like. Even when they were, picked up some wins, that team until last weekend did not look good in the last month or so for a number of different reasons. But last Sunday, they looked good, and they were crisp on offense and bent on defense but didn't break a lot of times. And I actually caught a lot of breaks too. When you throw that Brady's last pass, it dinged around twice and then caught by the Pats. Those things, that means things are going your way, and they hadn't been going their way for a lot of this season.
I was surprised, Bill. I mean, I know how good Edelman is, but I was absolutely stunned at the difference he made, especially on third downs on Saturday. That was amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a thing here. I was listening to sports radio, and I mentioned the last week that I hadn't. I listened some, but I don't listen a lot. And I was listening. I think it was on Sunday, and there was one of the shows. No, it couldn't have been Sunday. I'm sorry, it had to have been Monday, yesterday. And I was listening to one of the shows, and they were talking about, rating the Patriots. Other than Brady, who's the next most valuable player? And I think what a ridiculous argument this is, because. Whether it's Gronkowski or Edelman, that's what they're saying. They're basing this off of one game, and it's so crazy to have these kinds of discussions when, in fact, it is a team sport, and we hear this all the time. But, Edelman and Gronkowski make a big difference with that team, but who's to say one's more valuable than the other? And the wins and losses, just by looking at stats of wins and losses, it really doesn't tell the whole story of whether Edelman's playing and they win and Gronkowski's playing and what their win-loss record when he plays and so on. Clearly, they're both very valuable players. And the fact is that when they all come back together, then there's that synergy, I would imagine, of having these guys all together and playing as a unit as designed by the, at the beginning of the year.
I don't see a lot mentioned about the offensive line on Saturday except what you just did. And, you talk about value. Hello. I don't know what happened, but that offensive line was tremendous, as you said. Brady got bumped a couple of times, but that was it. They were outstanding, the offensive line was.
Yeah, the one time I think a guy got to Brady, it was a late hit. And then there might have been a hit later on, but for the most part, it wasn't like these other games. Brady – I'm not saying that doesn't have anything to do with the fact that Edelman and Gronkowski are in the game. No doubt about it. you know, these guys are getting open, and there were some nice moves by a few players in that game on Sunday. So, hey, Saturday, rather. You know, it was Sunday that I listened to it because I was thinking the game was Sunday, but it was Saturday, and I was listening on Sunday. So, anyways, that's what it is, and, you know, it'll be interesting to see. You know, obviously, we're all geared up, pumped up for another game this Sunday, so that's great. We've got something to do on Sunday.
Well, you know, and in this region, in wintertime, we're living vicariously through the Patriots. And, you know, we just want one. I love that little post on Facebook where it said three of the four quarterbacks are all number one picks in their respective drafts. And then there's Tom Brady at 199.
Yeah, and there was actually some Twitter. I saw this story in the news. I think it was today. Tongue-in-cheek Twitter comments from Brady, Edelman, and Gronkowski on Brady not getting into the end zone on that last play. By the way, Rick, do you think that he got into the end zone on
yes.
that? You do? See,
yes.
I don't think he did myself. And you know something? I think that's a crazy rule myself. I don't like that rule because, you know, think about it, Rick. You know, like, you can come in, go through the air, go through the end zone with the ball, not have your feet touch in the end zone, and it's a touchdown? The ball,
yeah.
the ball
well,
does.
The, but,
I know the rule, but you know, to me, it's just like. Yet on the other hand, and I get it. You don't have possession of the ball. You're in the end zone. Your feet have to come down in the end zone. Yeah, I get that too. But it seems to me that you know, it seems to me that you got it. You should have to get either the ball across with your body or whatever. But you know, and,
okay,
and, hit,
well,
and hit the ground maybe.
That's another story. Yeah. But according to the rule, when he was flying out of bounds, his body sort of was in the air parallel. His body was out of bounds, but it hadn't landed. You know, it was in the air,
right,
and he
yeah.
had the ball tucked behind him. It looked to me like the ball did break the plane. Remember, that plane goes up to infinity from, you know, from the goal line on the floor all the way up. So, you know, whatever, he got it on the next play. That was fine.
Yeah, there you go. All right, Rick, anything else we should be talking about here in the program?
Well, you know, depending on the weather, we are going to try to do a hockey game on Saturday. I'm leaning toward Winthrop Marblehead, I believe it is. I think it is. I'll have to double check, of course, the schedule, but we are planning to do a game on Saturday, and we don't have one during the week because mid-year exams are taking place in the high schools in the region, so there won't be any Wednesday hockey this week, and, you know, we'll be back on the horse on Saturday, hopefully weather, you know, weather-dependent.
Yeah, a number of teams have been playing kind of different days this week in hockey. A few teams played actually yesterday, and there are not a lot of games scheduled for Wednesday. Normally, a Northeastern Conference hockey night, although I think there are one or two games might be on the schedule for Wednesday. Anyways, that'll do it. Again, our basketball broadcast tonight. We've got some boys action. Salem undefeated, traveling to Beverly. 7 o'clock tip-off from Beverly High School. It's all tonight here with live internet radio on Channel A. You good, Rick?
That's it.
All right. That's the word. With Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell. This is North Shore Today on MSONewsSports.com.